radio show.
So I suppose that Phil isn't in yet either. Today is the big 50th show, and Jack is nowhere to be found. And Gateway's president, Brian Albrecht, is waiting for his guest appearance with Jack.
Brian Albrecht? The president of Gateway Technical College? The guy who pays for the show? With checks we can actually cash?
Now you see my point, although I am waiting to see those checks.
Hey, Olivia, how are you?
Well, a panic, that's how I am. I can't find Jack. And why are you so perky this morning?
Just had a good time celebrating the big 50th show with Don here last night.
I swear, Phil, you're the only guy I know who can celebrate into the wee hours of the night and still be whistling a happy tune the next morning.
What can I say? Celebrating just agrees with me. So you can't find Jackson?
No, and I've looked everywhere.
Did you look in the vault? You know it's Saturday, and Jackson counts his money each and every Saturday.
That's right. How could I have forgotten that?
That's right. The rest of the week he counts it only once. But on Saturday, it's twice.
Well, I don't care how many times he counts it on Saturdays. Get him in here. Phil, can you go get Jack? Brian Albrecht is waiting for him.
Who?
Well, you know, Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway College, you know, the owner of WGTD.
Say, Donnie, was this Brian guy celebrating with us last night?
No. You're thinking of the other tall brunette.
Was she graying at the temples?
Just go get Jack before Mary hangs us both out to dry.
Okay, I'm going already.
So what kind of show do Brown and Ulstrup have in store for us today?
They got lazy this week and are redoing bits from previous shows.
Previous shows, Well, it is the 50th show. They probably just want to treat the audience to hearing some great moments from past shows.
Right, that's it. Treat the audience. I've got to use that one. More likely, they're just lazy.
Libby, I have Jackson with me.
Well, it's about time.
And, ladies and gentlemen, Jack Benny.
Now, cut that out. I knew perfectly well that Brian was here. How rude do you think I am? I had him sit in the lobby and catch up on his magazine reading while I checked on a few things.
Oh, Jack, you didn't leave him with those good housekeeping magazines from 1987.
Well, I mean, he probably hadn't read it.
Jack, Brian's mother probably hadn't read it. Now, get out there and go do the guest appearance.
All right already. Man, everyone's all tied up in a knot today.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Jack Benny Show, and here's Jack.
Thank you. Today we have a very special guest to help celebrate the WGTD Radio Theater's 50th show. It's the president of Gateway Technical College, Brian Albrecht.
Jack, thank you for inviting me to today's special show. I wouldn't have missed it.
What? You may not have missed it, Brian, but Jack almost did because he just had to be in the vault.
What was that?
Oh, ignore that. The staff tends to get a bit ornery when they don't get their checks on time. Which is why I was in the vault.
Vault?
That's just the nickname I have for my office, you see, where I do my most important thinking and planning.
And counting.
Yes, counting. Counting how many checks I won't be writing today.
We hear you, Jackson.
Well, thank you. Now, where were we, Brian? Oh, yes, our show.
Yes, Jack. I just wanted to come on and congratulate everyone involved with the WGTD Radio Theater and the 91.1 Players on an amazing accomplishment. Today, television shows are lucky to have more than one or two episodes, and the radio theater has put on 50 live shows over 7 years.
My radio show has been on for over 16 years.
True, but that was so long ago.
Well, not that long ago. After all, I'm just 39 years old.
Right.
How are things here at Gateway, Brian?
Great as usual, Jack. We're commemorating our own landmark of being 100 years old this year, and our interior design students just won the statewide competition.
Wow, Brian, that's great.
Say, Jack, how about if those students redesign your vault? What a day, Jack. It'd be a great project for our students.
Mary, I think you better run out there and get Jack off the hook.
Why? I'm sort of enjoying watching him twist in the wind.
Yeah, but it's all we need if Jack winds up staying in the vault the entire time a bunch of students are down there painting. We'll never see him.
Mary?
Oh, all right. I'll go and get him out again. Say, Jack, I'm sorry to interrupt, but Brian's assistant, Julie, just called and said that Brian has to get to his next appointment.
Appointment? Oh, yes, appointment. Brian, you better get to that appointment.
Didn't know I had anything else on my calendar. Well, okay. Let me once again congratulate and thank everyone with the WGTD Radio Theater. I'm looking forward to another 50 shows.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Albrecht.
Okay, Jack, you owe me for that one.
Owe you? As in I have to give you something?
Yeah, novel concept, huh?
I better get back down to the vault.
Going to be signing some special bank documents?
I have no problem signing checks, as long as you don't sign them, too.
Oh,
we were supposed to sign the checks.
Goodbye, everyone.
Our next performer started with the 91.1 Players about 5 years ago, when he was just a mere boy, and has acted, played violin, and worked as a sound tech for the show. His family moved to the Chicago area, and sadly he had to leave us. But today, Bobby Pirtle is in high school and has become quite an accomplished musician and is a member of the Maud Powell String Quartet, which is an honors quartet of the Elgin Youth Symphony Orchestra. Today, Bobby and the quartet joins us to treat us to some great music. With that, let's have a big round of applause for the Maud Powell String Quartet.
Thank you. Wow, that was great. Great job. As you all know, it has become a tradition at the WGTD Radio Theater to bring back some of the hilarious television cartoons of the past, like Rocky and Bullwinkle, Augie Doggy and Doggy Daddy, and Bugs Bunny. Today we take a look back at our show about Daffy Duck. Daffy Goes to Mars.
After all the super stunts that rabbit has pulled, they still make him the star. I gotta think of something to get back on top. What to do? I got it. I'll go to Mars. After all, they've been talking about it for too long time to do it. And I think a prospect for real gold. The right kind of carrot. Now, to find a rocket ship. I understand that some of those shuttles were available. Here we go. Man, that was fast. We're almost there. Must be one of those high-speed rail runs. Okay, time to land this puppy. Not too bad. Good thing I had those new shocks and springs installed. Well, time to get us prospecting for gold.
Oh, heavens. What was that loud thud? I best check out the perimeter area using my brand new surface-to-surface long-range intercontinental radar scanning device. Here we go. Adjusting the longitudinal amplitude. Now estimating the latitudinal amperage. Focusing in on the area of geological disturbance. And... aha! I see it! It appears to be a rocket ship! From Earth! Oh, of all places. Well, there goes the neighborhood. As if home values aren't low enough. And what is that walking around there? Let me adjust the zoom quotient. It's a duck! A duck? How could that be? Oh, I see. It's of the Daffy subspecies. One of superior intelligence. Nevertheless, it's time for me to see that he leaves.
Man, this prospecting is tough. I gotta bring back something, though. I can't let Bugs get the better of me again.
Say there. I say there.
What the heck is that?
I say, can you hear me? Just what are you here for?
Well, I'll be. It's the Marshman.
Now, please, didn't you hear me?
Yeah, I guess so. So just surprised to see a robot, that's all.
I am not, nor have I ever been a robot.
So what are you?
A Martian.
Oh, that makes sense, this being Mars and all. There aren't a lot of you here.
Oh, I can understand that. We do have one Martian to 10-acre zoning in these parts.
Wasn't expecting to see anyone in these parts. Well, that explains it.
So just what are you doing here?
Oh, I'm here prospecting for gold.
You can't do that. That makes me very angry. Very angry indeed. You need to leave immediately.
Oh, I do intend to leave. Just as soon as I have enough gold to show everyone on Earth that I'm the real star.
Oh, no, that simply won't do. You need to leave now. Truly, you do.
Tell you what, Buster. You just be on your way and I'll be out of your hair. Or whatever it is that's on top of your head. And as soon as I can. Now, I'm going to go over to that other hill and see what I can find.
Oh, this duck is making me very angry. Very angry indeed. I think it's time to show that Earth duck just who the boss is here. What can I use to show him that I mean business? That he indeed must leave now. I have it! I will use my super lasonic plasmatic blaster pistol. That will show him I mean business. Say there! I say there!
Huh?
I say, can you hear me?
Oh, for Pete's sake. Now what does he want?
Now please, didn't you hear me?
Well, not really. Can't you see I'm sort of busy here?
Well, I really couldn't care less. Let me tell you once more that you must leave Mars immediately. And I have the superlasonic plasmatic blaster pistol to tell you that I mean business.
That blaster thing is telling me you mean business?
Why, yes.
Are you sure?
Yes, I am quite sure.
Really?
Really.
Well, I don't hear a thing. Maybe you should look into it and make sure it's telling me the right thing.
I hate to admit it. But that does make sense. I do want to make sure you're getting the correct message.
There you go. Take a look.
Okay. I'm looking.
See? Told you wasn't telling me anything. See you later, alligator. I'll be over that hill as soon as you can clean yourself up.
Grr! He continues to make me very angry. Very angry indeed. What can I do next to persuade that duck of his error? I have it! I'll slip a photon charge, quark resistant, super string, electronometric bunker buster explosive in his sleeping bag. That will prove to him the gravity of his situation. Yes, I can sneak up to his sleeping bag while he is pounding that rock. That duck really is of low intelligence. He just so deserves to be reminded once again that he must return to her earth. Now let me get the explosive into the bag. Hey, that worked out quite well. That's enough explosive to blast that duck quite assuredly back to where he came from. Now let me program the fuse and I'll dash off and hide behind those rocks over there. Any second now. Now just what could have happened?
Excuse me, might this be your sleeping bag?
No, I should say not.
Really sure?
Oh yes, quite.
Really?
Just give it to me and I will show you.
Here you go.
Very funny. What is all of this falling down on top of us?
I can't believe it. I cannot believe it. It's carrots. There's no gold here, only carrots. This explosion blew them right out of the ground. That dang rabbit gets his way again.
Okay. We are delighted to have a very special guest here today.
Ha! Kathy, you don't have to say I'm so special. I'm happy to help out any way that I can.
Phyllis, I'm not talking about you. I know you're happy to get any work you can and should be. I'm talking about our very special guest, the mayor of Kenosha, the Honorable Keith Bosman.
Well, welcome, Mayor.
Well, hi, Phyllis.
So, what's new?
Well, not much. Let's see, when does Bob Hope get here?
Bob Hope?
Yeah, Bob Hope. When Mayor Dickert of Racine was on the show, he got to talk to Bob Hope. Why do I get you?
Well, tell the truth, Mayor, is that Dickert didn't bring any Kringle for anyone, so he sort of ruined it for you. You're stuck with me. Unless, of course, you brought something.
Well, no, although I could get you an engine assembly plant pretty cheap.
Lots of burly men work there?
No.
Then skip it. So, Mayor, what is going on in Kenosha?
Well, there's always a lot of things going on in Kenosha. The Harborside Market every Saturday, and some great museums like the Civil War Museum. You know, Phyllis, I hear you're familiar with the Civil War.
Yeah, I guess. I studied it in school.
Oh, you just studied it? Jack Benny told me that you entertained the troops at Vicksburg.
Like Jack should talk. He still has the Confederate dollars that he got paid.
Now, cut that out. And how do you know what I have in my vault?
Well, say, Phyllis, I gotta get going. Busy times around here.
Oh, you got a high-speed trolley to catch?
No, nothing like that. But before I go, I do want to congratulate everyone with the WGTD Radio Theater here at Gateway for achieving this milestone of providing 50 great shows on our own local public radio station to the audiences here in the studio, across the listening area, and around the globe on the World Wide Web. It's just another reason we all like living in Kenosha.
Oh, thank you, Mayor. I suppose I should get going, too. How dare you?
Thanks, Phyllis. And, of course, thanks, Mayor Bosman. And now, another piece from the Maud Powell String Quartet.
great job. Remember the movie, The Wizard of Oz? And how the wizard up and left Emerald City in that balloon? Did you ever stop to think about who was going to run the place after he left? Well, our own Don Jensen thought about it. Obviously, Don needs more to do. But he did pen this short radio play about what just might have happened. We liked it the first time we performed it, and we know you like it this time. It's Meanwhile Back in the Emerald City.
What are we going to do now, Andy?
Would you look at that? You'd think the old guy had a rocket under that hot air balloon the way it took off like that.
Andy, pay attention. We've got to talk. We've got a problem, a big problem.
Just a dot in the sky. Smaller and smaller and smaller. I don't get it, Jeff. He was just supposed to help the kid and the dog into the balloon's basket, then jump out. They'd have made it home safe and sound without him, just like we planned.
It was that mutt who screwed things up. He jumped out and the girl right behind him, not the professor. He just stood there like a big dummy that he is. And with the loss of the weight, the confounded balloon just took off, taking our whiz away off to who knows where.
Omaha, I guess. Back to the state fair. Good, gone for good.
And it was all so unnecessary, because then Glinda...
Glinda, the good witch of the North?
Yeah, Glinda. She showed up and told the kid that...
A nice kid, too, Jeff, don't you think? Cute, spunky. I always thought she looked a lot like a young, what's-her-name, you know, Judy Garland?
Well, she told Dorothy that she didn't need the balloon, didn't need the professor, didn't need any of us. All she had to do was click those red heels and wish herself back home. And just like that, she did. Whoosh. And now, just like our dear departed Wiz, they're back in the USA.
Meanwhile, back in the Emerald City, our two friend... No, let's not call them friends. Friends are those we like, and these two, in truth, are not particularly likable. And they do have a very real problem, but more of that later. Meanwhile, Back in the Emerald City was written by Don Jensen with a nod of appreciation to L. Frank Baum, creator of the original story, The Wizard of Oz, and its familiar characters, some of whom we will meet again very soon. But it is Mr. Jensen, not Mr. Baum, who is responsible for creating the two new characters we've just met. Jeffrey L. Filch, former head of corporate relations, and Andrew F. Steele, until recently, information technology director for a huge, but now failed, Texas corporation. And when Encore Energy went south, so to speak, Filch and Steele went north in the company's Learjet, headed for remote Iceland, skipping out just ahead of the indictments. Now, somewhere over Wichita, they've run into a storm. A really bad storm.
Jeff, I can't hold it steady. The plane's starting to yaw and roll. I think we're in a twister.
Do something, Andy, for God's sake.
What's that? Look out there. It looks like a house. A farmhouse. It's spinning around and around.
And there, over on the right, just off the wingtips, it's an old lady on a bicycle. What the?
Jeff, I'm losing it. The stick, the rudder's nothing. We're spinning, tumbling, end over end. We're gonna crash.
Gradually, the dust settles. We see a mass of scrap metal, aluminum alloy, crushed fiberglass. Wisps of smoke twist upward from a crumpled jet engine. But remarkably, the two fugitives have survived. They crawl from the twisted wreckage alive and miraculously unhurt. They look around.
Hey, Andy, are you okay?
I think so. No broken bones, I think. And you?
Ditto. Unscathed, thank goodness. But where are we? I don't think we're in Kansas anymore. Everything is so green. The grass, the trees, even those towers and turrets over that hill. This is a city. It's an emerald city.
Indeed. As you must have guessed, Filch and Steele somehow have found their way to Oz. But of course, some distance from where Dorothy's house has just flattened a witch. As her story plays out, our boys make their way up to the green metropolis. There they find Professor Marvel, intrepid balloonist and part-time snake oil salesman, having blown in on an earlier storm, now ensconced as the ruler of the land. As the one, the only, the mighty and omnipotent Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, Marvel's a hustler, all right, but he's got a couple of serious personality flaws. underneath that admirably crass exterior, he's got a heart of gold.
Yeah, too bad that. But happily for us, he's also got an illumination problem. He's not very bright. So we quickly stepped in and became the power behind the man behind the curtain. We propped and prepped the whiz and what to do and what to say. With handsome salaries and plenty of perks, it's been a good life, a very good life. Better even than back in Houston.
Yeah, we've got everything we could want. Money, a comfortable castle, well-stocked bar, indoor pool, lots of pretty girls, even a color TV.
If by color TV you mean an all-green screen.
Yes, the boys have it pretty good, all right. But there's trouble brewing. You know the story. Dorothy and Co. kill the witch, return to Wizard for their payoff, and discover him to be a fraud and humbug. He offers to return to Kansas in his repaired balloon, but then a major glitch. Contrary to their plans, Marvel sails off into the blue. Now Fitch and Steele are without their whiz, their stooge, their meal ticket to the good life, and unless they can find a substitute quickly to take his place as the mighty and omnipotent Oz, they are in danger of losing it all.
Jeez, I thought that flashback would never end. But here we are, back to the present with all that backstory stuff explained. So, as I was saying when the program began, what are we going to do now, Andy? We've got a problem, a big problem. Where are we going to find a new Wizard of Oz? And quick, before the natives start to get restless.
I thought about that. You think you're the only one with brains? But I had an idea this morning, and I sent an email to Glinda.
The good old witch of the north?
Right. Ask her to stop by this afternoon. You know, she could be a wizard just as easy as a witch, and the people just love her. There she is now. I'll get the door. Oh, hi, Glinda.
Oh, hello, boys. And how are you today? And what a lovely, wonderful day it is, too.
Now, I don't know about that, Glinda. Anyway, we're glad you could stop by this afternoon.
Oh, no trouble. No trouble at all. I'm always delighted to see you two. I was at a baptism of Twin Munchkin's baby this morning when I got your email on my BlackBerry. Oh, such darling little infants, and I do mean little. I was there to congratulate the happy parents and be godmother to the little tyke.
Yeah, Glinda, that's very nice, very good of you and all that, but we have more serious things to...
And then it was off to the Lollipop Kids Elementary School for show and tell day. Those youngsters were jumping up and down with glee, showing me their puppies and bottle cap collections and ant farms. Did you boys know there are 47 different species of ants in Munchkin Land? Oh, not counting Aunt Bee from Mayberry, of course. And Aunt Jemima.
Huh? Aunt Bee? Aunt Jemima?
Oh, you know I'm just joking. You know I'm such a kidder. Anyway, I came over as soon as I got your email. You said it was important. I'm due at 4 o'clock tea with the Emerald City Ladies' Aid, so I thought I'd pop in here before that to find out what's so urgent.
And we appreciate it, Glinda, we really do. But we have a major problem, a serious glitch. The whiz is gone, you know.
Right. And?
Well, we need a new whiz. Here. And now, and quickly. There's a power vacuum in Emerald City, and if we don't act fast, who knows what local ward healer will rise up from that citizenry, thinking that he should be the new Wizard of Oz. And then, where would we be? Out in our ears, that's where.
And where would it stop? Why, a new regime might even be tempted to sign an extradition treaty with the United States.
I see your concern, boys, but what's that got to do with me?
We need you to be the new wizard. You understand what Emerald City wants, their needs in a leader, and you're sensitive to the, special nuances to our situation.
Ah, yes, I see. I do understand, boys. Your nuances, your special circumstances.
And
I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot broomstick. Count me out. I'm not interested in being your stooge, your puppet, your witch on a string, so you can keep living your good lives and stay out of jail. Besides, I'm thinking of retiring, now that the witch sisters are no longer around to hassle me. Oh, I've got that vacation condo over on Munchkin Beach, you know. Figure I'll settle in, take it easy, finish writing my memoirs.
Retirement? Memoirs?
Yeah, I've tentatively titled the manuscript, Bert Lauer and Me, The Untold Story. Lots of juicy stuff, like my affair with a cowardly lion. Brrr! I'm going to call that chapter Bold When It Counts. No, my lads, ain't interested. Find yourself another wizard. A tame one. Bye now.
What are we gonna do, Jeff?
Indeed. Where will the boys turn next to find a substitute wizard? They ponder the question long and hard. They come up with one name after another.
The Tin Man?
Too emotional. You can't have El Supremo going around blubbering all the time.
The Scarecrow, then?
No way. Can't stand the heat. He'll flame out in a crisis.
And the Cowardly Lion?
You gotta be kidding. Besides the obvious reason, he's moving in with the Good Witch over on Munchkin Beach. He's already got his quivering hands, well, paws, full already.
Okay, then. What do you think about the coroner?
Who?
The Munchkin coroner, you know. The little guy in the funny suit who pronounced the Wicked Witch of the East dead, truly dead, most sincerely dead.
Interesting. A savvy poll, right? Careful, conservative, maybe a little all hat, no castle, but hey, that's not so important in a public servant, as long as it's us he serves.
There is the perception that he was tough on terrorism, firm and forceful in meeting the witch crisis. He makes a good impression.
Yeah, for a munchkin, but I'll get him on the line.
And so he does. Jeff Filch carefully explains the situation to the gruff-voiced munchkin politician. A meeting is scheduled in the palace that very evening at 9 o'clock, sharp. It's nighttime. Outside, gas jets flicker a bit behind the colored lenses of the old-fashioned street lamps, casting a pale green glow on the cobblestones. Inside the palace, Filch and Steele are completing their interview of a most curious-looking little man, the coroner of Munchkinland.
Okay, Mr. Coroner, that about does it for us. Do you have anything further?
Indubitably good, sir. And let me assure you two worthy gentlemen that as the new Wizard of Oz, I will welcome any wisdom, guidance, advice, instructions, household tips, and, well, yes, orders that you might favor me with. Welcome them most willingly, most gladly, most sincerely, and most sycophantly.
What's he mean, Jeff? Sycophantly? Sounds like he's talking about a crazy elephant.
He means, Andy, that he'll be putty in our hands. An unquestioning toady. Our flexible front man. In short, he'll make the perfect wizard. Oh, yeah, I do have one more question. You are, I suppose, a citizen of Oz. The Constitution requires the Wiz to be a citizen.
Yeah. We had to forge papers for Professor Marvel, claiming his great-great-grandmother Maria Braggadocio
on his mother's side
had some Ozian blood in her veins, and those few drops made him a bona fide legal resident of the Emerald City. Do you have a similar claim to citizenship?
Well, illustrious gentlemen, I am from Munchkinland, you know.
Yes, and...
And we Munchkins are, well, a little different, you know. Altitudinally challenged, so to speak. Not exactly of the same stock as, say, your typical Emerald City folk. But there are formal agreements, certain reciprocal treaties, special identification papers that allow Munchkins all the rights and privileges of...
Yes, let's get to the point, man.
Well, no, I'm not exactly of the Ozist persuasion, but I do have...
You do have your green card, don't you?
Alas, gentlemen, I do not, but I...
No green card, no wizard. It's as simple as that. Now get out of here, you half-pint simpleton. You're wasting our time. You are of no use to us at all.
But, gentlemen, wait, I assure you, now, Phil!
Their list of whiz-worthy candidates has now shrunk to one, a choice they hope not to have to consider. Commandant Adolf von Simeon, now unemployed, but until the recent unpleasantness, commander of the Flying Monkeys.
Jawohl, mein Herr, you summoned me?
Commandant von Simeon, my associate Mr. Filch and I are, you might say, talent scouts, personnel headhunters. We are looking for a new wizard to lead the people of...
The Emerald City. Yeah, I see. So you naturally sound to me. You have done the right thing. I accept.
But,
yeah, indeed, I shall kick some butt in this decadent city. And soon, very soon, we will monitor phone calls, track down the dissidents relentlessly, send the troublemakers off to, what shall we call them, re-education camps in the frigid far-off Simrenia, where they will check in. But Von check out.
Well, that's not quite what we had in mind, Commander. See, we'd be advising you, telling you what to do. After all, we've been here for a while, know the ropes. We understand the people. We know
how to make the railroads run on time, eh? Nein. These are things where I know best. You. Well, I have the perfect jobs for you. Co-superintendents of the re-education camps.
In frigid far-off Sabrinia, where it's cold.
And snowy all year long.
Oh, no. The winter is only for 9 months. There's a lovely week of summer in mid-July. Healthy outdoor climate. You will love it.
Yes. Let me confer with my associate. But first, let me ring for some nice refreshments. Then we can seal the deal.
You rang for tea, sir?
Splendid. Thank you, Cornelia. Commander, you simply must try this special brew. It's made with native poppies. You've probably seen those huge fields of red blossoms over there beyond the city walls.
Ah, thank you. I will. A bit of the strange taste, but quite wonderful. I may even have another cup.
Whew, that was dicey for a moment, but now he's safely asleep. Yeah, at least until the narcotic wears off. And by then, he'll...
Cornelia, get the laundry trolley and get Horsley, the groom, to help you take the commander to the guest room to sleep off his overindulgence.
The guest room, sir?
Yes, you know Cornelia, in the cellar, the one with all the locks and bars on the door.
Oh, that guest room. The one with the sign on the door that reads... Dungeon.
Yes, whatever. But do it now, right away, before he starts to stir.
Indeed, sir. Yes, sir. Right away, sir.
It's the end of the line for our two plotters. There are no more names on their list of candidates to become the new Wizard of Oz. They sit in the palace throne room, looking glumly at the floor. What they need is their new wiz, is someone who will allow their comfortable existence to go on for years and years. Not an uppity witch with literary pretensions. Not a pint-sized bureaucrat without a green card. No flying bellhop with jackboots and a tail. What they need is someone beloved of all the people of the Emerald City. Someone sweet and caring, yet dedicated and persevering. Someone seen as, well, meek and mild.
Hey, Jeff! I got it!
What?
I got it!
Who? What do you mean?
I got an idea. A great one. Yeah. Here, let me get that phone. Operator, get me long distance. The number? Sure. It's Bumpkin 3689. Right. 3689.
Is it ringing?
Yeah, once, twice, and now there's two shorts. I think someone's picking up. Oh, yeah. Hello? Hello? Hey there, kid. Andy Steele here. You know, the professor's assistant. I'm calling from Oz, the Emerald City. Yeah, really? Good to hear your voice. How you doing, kid? Yeah, I know you're just getting settled and all, but we, Jeff Filch and I, we got an idea. Yeah, for you. Yup, a great, real great deal with 6-digit salary. Country club membership.
Stock options and a great golden parachute package.
It's the good life. I can guarantee you that. Now, here's the deal. How'd you like to be CEO of Emerald City? So, what do you say, Dorothy?
And so we've reached the end of our story, and just in time, too. But I do want to remind you that you've been listening to Meanwhile, back in the Emerald City.
And that, folks, ends our show for today. Our stars today were Gary Stamm, Carolyn Recker, Don Jensen, John Oleski, Ryan Farrell, Vicky Dumay, Bill Isley, Tom Powers, Cameron Spencer, Siegfried Christoph, Julie Burton, and Andrew Potter.
Working sound and special effects were Steve Brown, Terry Steele, Andrew Potter. A very special thanks to our special guests, Mayor Keith Bosman of the City of Kenosha, and Brian Albrecht, president of Gateway Technical College, and the Maud Powell String Quartet, Patrick Connolly, Jonathan Lee, Bobby Pirtle, and Christopher Mendez.
As you announcers, I am Mary Isley.
And I'm Kathy Zolke. Don Jensen directed this special show.
Finally, this really great script was written by Steve Brown, Mike Alstrup, and with a very special thanks to Don Jensen for his script, Meanwhile, Back in the Emerald City.
As always, support for the WGTD Radio Theater is provided by the Kenosha Law Firm of O'Connor, Dumay, Aliyah, and McTernan. We thank them for ongoing support through the years.
Live at the Metropolitan Opera House in New York City. I'm Margaret Jontwaite. Today, a delightfully surreal collision of Greek drama and commedia dell'arte, Richard Strauss's Ariadne auf Naxos. It's an opera within an opera, and it stars Violetta Urmana, Kathleen Kim, Joyce DiDonato, Robert Dean Smith, and Thomas Allen, and it's led by the Met's principal guest conductor, Fabio Luisi. Stay with us.
This performance is being broadcast live over the Toll Brothers Metropolitan Opera International Radio Network, sponsored by Toll Brothers, America's luxury home builder, with generous long-term support from the Annenberg Foundation and the Vincent A. Stabile Endowment for Broadcast Media, and through contributions from listeners worldwide.
I'm Margaret Juntwaite, and commentator Ira Siff is with me. Ira Richard Strauss loved female voices, and he lavished great music on them. Ariadne auf Naxos has three terrific roles for female singers.
With contrasting voice types, in our case, Violetta Urmana's rich, dramatic soprano, Kathleen Kim's silvery coloratura soprano, and Joyce DiDonato's soaring high mezzo in the trouser role of the composer.
The opera was written in 1916, and the librettist was Hugo von Hofmannsthal, who collaborated with Strauss on many of his great operas, from Elektra to Der Rosenkavalier.
Well, their operas contain an extraordinary level of psychological insight, but also, in the case of Ariadne, a great deal of humor.
It's set at the home of the richest man in Vienna. He's going to entertain party guests with the premiere of a new opera, which is called Ariadne auf Naxos. It's a serious work based on the Greek myth about Ariadne, who's been abandoned by her lover on the island of Naxos. But the opera is only part of the evening.